Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, keywords 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And since we are not going to be here tomorrow because of the Phillies-Cubs game from Wrigley Field, I'd like to tell everybody that we are also brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, stock up for the Memorial Day weekend. It'll be a great weekend. Weather-wise, a great weekend, warm enough where you can go out, and when you're done, you're going to want to enjoy a beverage. No question about that. And also, while you're out there, maybe you want to look for a new car, and that would be Sunbury Motors. Sean, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
We have a lot to cover here. We're going to have Ryan Snyder, Blue White Illustrated, on to discuss Penn State recruiting in the next half hour. Doug Gottlieb from CBS Sports to talk about the NBA playoffs. But, of course, the major story of the day is the story out of Baylor today. If for the listeners of the show, I have skirted past the Baylor story a couple of times as time has gone. And I have been with specific names. I remember discussing last year specifically the fact that Awakachu, you know, who had transferred in from Boise State, and I explained why my confidence in that program was not very high. They've always had a habit of taking in players that used to be someone else's problem. Sexual assault on campus, of course, any campus is, I said, if there's one, there's one too many. So they, in 2015, they did hire the law firm of Pepper Hamilton to step in and take a look at this. Today, Art Briles was fired as the head football coach at Baylor. The wording is interesting, but there's a reason, all right? The reason that the wording is different is where he is suspended on track to termination. I think that's what they said. And here's the reason why for that, just so you know. Briles signed a 10-year, $60 million contract with Baylor 2 years ago. There's still 8 years to run in that contract. Now, obviously, we are not privy to the wording of the contract and the termination aspect of it and the buyout clauses and whether or not Baylor can just, in other words, we don't owe you any money because you're fired with cause, or whether they have to come to some sort of financial settlement. So that's why we don't know that. He's going to be fired, but as of right now, he's suspended with the intent to be fired. So that's why that wording is in there, because he still has 8 years to go on his contract at Baylor. It was a harsh report that Pepper Hamilton put out to the Board of Regents that outlined the litany of sexual assaults and violent incidents. Now, Ian McCaw, the athletic director, has been suspended. Ken Starr, the president, and remember, I think it was when we were on the show Tuesday, they said he's been fired, and I said that he might be reassigned. It turned out that is correct. He was reassigned. So the report that he's no longer the president, but he's now the chancellor at the law school and will be teaching classes. Briles came to Baylor and in 2008, got things rolling. In his first recruiting class, he had Robert Griffin III. And along the way, of course, he rises to be a Heisman Trophy winner and so forth. Okay. But what about the problems on campus? I mean, the problems on campus, and I've talked about this repeatedly because I know that the players they've been taking in have been, to me, based on, happen to be players that had trouble other places. Sam Iwakuchu, in August of last year, was found guilty of sexually assaulting a former Baylor soccer player. So he was sentenced to 180 days in the county jail and 10 years probation. He was released after 2 months on a $100,000 appeal. But, all right, people don't realize that, you know, he came in from Boise State. And he transferred to Baylor after being dismissed by Chris Peterson at Boise. They never gave details as to why he was kicked off the team. His former girlfriend testified during the trial that he had struck and choked her when he attended Boise State. Brile said he was not made aware of Iwakuchu's past by Peterson when accepting the transfer. Peterson said, no, not true, that he had informed Art Briles about why Iwakuchu was dismissed by the team. So that's what led to this internal investigation. Iwakuchu never played for Baylor. He was ineligible in 13 because of NCAA transfer rules. He was suspended in 14. Baylor never gave a reason for the suspension. He had been taking graduate classes at the school. Sean Oakman was here. I can tell you, he and Deion Barnes came in together. They both redshirted together. And as I looked out in that practice field in 2011, I kept looking at Sean Oakman and Deion Barnes, said Penn State's going to have bookend defensive ends that are going to be incredible a couple of years from now. Well, Oakman ran afoul here, first with Joe. Joe suspended him from practice for a week. And then they let him back in. He's practicing with the foreign team. And then he ran into the incident at the Hub, and then Bill O'Brien, boom, kicked him off the team immediately. And to something that was not my surprise at all, he ended up at, voila, Baylor, because I've always felt that they took other teams' problems. And it's something I have said on this show before, so this is not, I'm not making statements that are brand new and fresh here. I think people who listen to the show all the time know when I've talked about Baylor, I've always talked about how they have the ability to take on other teams' problems. Some people thought that Oakman was going to be a high draft pick. I didn't. I thought he'd maybe be a third, but he wasn't drafted at all. And Pepper Hamilton now looks into all of this. They did suspend Oakman for the season opener against SMU. Undisclosed violation of team rules. Comes back from suspension. Trey Van Armstead, dismissed from the program. Violation team rules. Former Baylor student-athlete who was sexually assaulted by Iwakuchu reportedly reaches a settlement with the school right on New Year's Eve, 4.5 months ago. Outside the lines, reports that Baylor officials either failed to investigate or adequately investigate allegations of sexual assault by two women against former Baylor player Tevin Elliott. Both said they were informed that there were as many as six women that had reported being assaulted by Elliott. He was convicted on two counts of sexual assault in 14. He's currently serving a 20-year sentence. The report also reveals that Baylor University took nearly 3 years to comply with a federal directive to hire a Title IX coordinator. Jasmine Hernandez, former Baylor student who was reported she had been raped by Elliott, files a Title IX lawsuit against the school. And also against school officials that included Art Briles. She claims she claims the school knew that Elliott had a history of assaults, failed to protect her and other women, and ignored her when she sought help. April 13th, Sean Oakman is arrested for sexual assault. A Baylor graduate alleges Oakman forced her to have sex with him after they met at a Waco nightclub April 3rd. Oakman told police it was consensual. Outside the Lines reported that sexual assault allegations against Armstead and Mike Chapman were not investigated for 2 years. And so this has been going on and on. And one of the problems that you've had at Baylor is that there have been incidents along the way where that there was an impression, and I don't know if it's accurate or not, an impression that they would sweep things under the rug and just keep on going, and guys would keep playing. So now this report comes out, and they discuss Title IX in the report. They discuss getting Baylor more into the culture of the university, football-wise. Art Briles has 8 years to go in his contract. They're going to have to come to an agreement with him somewhere to finish his dismissal. He is 60 years old, by the way. His son is also the offensive coordinator. And the athletic director is currently on suspension. Ken Starr was reassigned as the from president to chancellor at the law school and will teach a class there. That's where we are today in all of this. And it is I haven't read the report yet. But it's there are allegations that at least one of the women may have been pressured not to report. And there may be another incident with a second woman. And if that is the case, that's why everything is broken loose there. And again, they talked about the they talked about how they recruited there. So here's the basis for the report. In fact, what we'll do is we'll take a break. We'll get into the basis for the full report as to what they put out. They've only put out 5 pages of it so far. There's obviously exponentially more. But we'll explain what is in the report and what is disgusting in the report in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
If you thought 100 years in business was impressive, SMC is going to show you 101 is even more spectacular. Through the end of May, Sunbury Motors Ford is going to sell 101 new Fords by discounting every new Ford to the lowest price possible. Plus, give you more for your trade. And they're even open Monday, Memorial Day from 9 to 1. SMC is where you want to be if you want to choose from 42 new Escapes starting at $18,880. SMC is where you want to be if you want to choose from 85 new F-150s starting at $23,000. $1,003,749.
Saving you up to $11,400.
SMC is where you want to be if you want 0% financing for 72 months on Focuses, Fusions, Edges, Escapes, and Explorers. Now is the time to take advantage of Sunbury Motors' goal to sell 101 new Fords in May. 101 vehicles sold means you'll save more money than ever before. Sunbury Motors and the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for 101 years. Open Monday, Memorial Day from 9 till 1.
Jump into summer by stopping at the Beverage Supermarket Brewers Outlet in Sunbury. Incredible savings like Keystone Light 18 packs for only $8.95. That's only $2.99 a 6-pack. Seagram's Coolers now available in cans, just $9.99 a 12-pack. Brewers Outlet has a large beverage and craft beer selection, snacks, teas, fresh roasted peanuts, and the pickle bar. Why go anywhere else? So start the parties with Keystone for under 50 cents a can. Check out the Brewers Outlet weekly specials on Facebook. Enjoy, and thanks for the business. Brewers Outlet. Led Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Okay, as far as I'm concerned, when you look at the Baylor situation, if you're going to look at the one area above all, this is the one that makes you sit back and say, wait a minute, stop. It's right here in this part of the report. In certain instances, including reports of a sexual assault by multiple football players, athletics and football personnel chose not to report sexual violence and dating violence to an appropriate administrator outside of athletics. Okay, now listen to this part. In those instances, according to the findings, football coaches or staff met directly with a complainant and or a parent of the complainant and did not report the misconduct. Okay? Those are two absolute no-nos. You don't meet with the complainant and you don't meet with the parent. Okay? You pass it to where it needs to go and go from it. You don't step in. You're not an authority. As a result, no action was taken to support complainants, fairly and impartially evaluate the conduct under Title IX, address identified cultural concerns within the football program, or protect campus security once aware of a potential pattern of sexual violence by multiple football players. Okay? You don't do that. That's the part right there. You don't get involved. Just because they play on the football team, you don't. We're going to sit down and talk with her. You are? Really? No, you're not. That woman is saying that her body was violated against her will. Right? That is not what you do. And should that be the case, that is why heads would have to roll. Hey, you don't get involved. Hey, you take it to the police, you go from there. You move it up the chain. We'll take a break. Ryan Snyder on Penn State recruiting next half hour, then Doug Gottlieb today on News Radio 1070.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And we welcome everyone back. Great to have you with us here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Ryan Snyder in a few moments, and then more of the Baylor situation. Again, the fact that they got directly involved with those who filed a complaint that is an absolute, that borders on obstruction of justice. And if Bob Buhner is around, I know Bob's always listening to us all the time. You can comment on that. We'll get to Ryan in a moment. This day in sports history, in Manhattan Beach, New York, the first American intercollegiate bicycle race took place. Big event. Sean's family all there, huge. Probably your grandfather probably talked about it many, many times to you along the way. I'm sure. Also in this date, the first Le Mans Grand Prix endurance began. The race was won by André Lagache and René Lenard. The race ended the next day as 24 hours of Le Mans, 1923. Ty Cobb became the first major league player to collect 1,000 extra base hits in his career. He did so on this date in 1925. What's interesting about that is that last night he was tied by David Ortiz on the all-time list for extra base hits. Another big Ortiz night last night. All right, are you sure you want to retire, David? Are you sure? Yeah, we'll certainly get the more on that. Time goes. 1980, the great Steve Carlton of the Phillies became the first National League player to record 6 one-hitters. 1988, the Oilers won their fourth Stanley Cup. They swept the Bruins 4-0. It was the final Stanley Cup win, by the way, for Wayne Gretzky. And on this date in 1990, for some inexplicable reason, the Phillies retired Mike Schmidt's number 20. Okay. No reaction from you? Come on. He is the best all-around third baseman I ever saw play the game. In the field, power at the plate. You know, once he dialed back the early stages of his career where he struck out so much and then got into his own pace, his own rhythm, there was nobody. You know, if you're picking the all-time team, he's the first guy I turn to at third base.
Really cool hearing him in the booth doing the home games on the weekends on the Phillies TV network.
No. I mean, he's honest.
Tell us it like it is. You bet ya.
No offense. They should take him on the road, too. All right. Let's bring in Ryan Snyder. Ryan got married on Saturday. I do not want anyone to think that we are taking him away from the pool of Cancun on his honeymoon to talk about Penn State football recruiting. They are not going on their honeymoon until next weekend. So they're still 9 days away from it. So, Ryan, I've met her. She's awesome. You're great. Congratulations from us to you.
Thank you, Steve. It was a big week. I finally got my voice back, so I'm happy to be on the show. Sorry I couldn't come on yesterday, but I was yelling a little too much this weekend.
Nah, you should have.
We're back.
It's a great, great moment. You're going to have great lives together. And somehow, some way, you still kept in touch with what's going on with your job while doing this very special thing. Penn State had a big recruiting weekend this past weekend. So, how did it play out? And what was your view based on the context that you've had as to how it played out?
Yeah, well, first off, got to give credit to my coworkers, you know, Tim Owen and Nate Bauer. They helped out a lot on Saturday. I was, you know, a little busy with my wedding and everything, but stayed in touch.
It's about time with Bauer. I mean, right.
They're good guys.
They
helped out a lot this weekend.
They do great work.
Got to give them most of the credit. They did most of the work, the hard work this weekend. But basically, you know, Penn State hosted what was kind of like a mini junior day this weekend. You know, we've seen in the past, February's and March, where they'll host, you know, 40, 50, upwards of 60-some prospects for what's a pretty big event. And it gives them an opportunity to, you know, show them campus, show them the stadium, show them facilities, and give them some one-on-one time. This weekend was similar to that, but on a little bit of a smaller scale. There was about 20, maybe 30. 30 prospects at most. And basically, I would say the main thing that came out of this weekend was just an opportunity to get some new names on campus, some guys that, you know, not every Penn State fan is familiar with, and offer a few of those guys as well. I think probably the most notable name that showed up this weekend was Matthew Dotson, four-star tight end out of Cincinnati. Dotson's been all over the place over the years, you know, Michigan State, Ohio State, you know, Tennessee, the schools he's been to, and You know, Penn State offered quite a while back, but he never visited until this past weekend. You know, fortunately, when he left campus, you know, he had a lot of good things to say about Franklin, a lot of good things to say about the staff. So Penn State put themselves in a pretty good position with him. You know, he was actually saying that they're right up there now, right in the mix. So that's big for Penn State. You know, they definitely want to add a tight end in this year's class. And one other thing just to add with that is that he's very close friends with Sean Clifford, who, you know, of course, is the 2017 quarterback that's already committed. He actually wrote off with Clifford. So, you know, Matt was a big name that was on campus, and there was another, you know, dozen or so guys that, you know, have scholarship offers. Danny Davis, wide receiver from Springfield, Ohio. Sean Savvy, a wide receiver out of Washington, D.C. He actually just got an offer this weekend. And one other name I have to mention was Dean Ingram. 2019 prospect, yes, he's actually just finished his freshman year. But, of course, he's the son of Bobby Ingram, which every Penn State fan will be happy to hear about. So lots of top names on campus, some good quality offers went out. And like I said, it was really just an opportunity for the staff to get some new guys on campus, show them around everything, and hand out a few offers.
There are certain guys in any recruiting class that have that Pied Piper effect. I think Shane Simmons was very much like that this past year for Penn State. Before, of course, we've heard about what Christian Hackenberg and Adam Brenneman did and so forth during that interesting time. Is there a guy that they have a verbal commitment from right now that is that kind of guy?
I absolutely have to lean towards Sean Clifford on that one. You know, I'll give a lot of credit to Eater Matos. He's going secretly out of his way to talk to guys a little more than it you know may look from the outside, and even Michael Parsons, the 2018 prospect, he's been reaching out to guys. I mean, everybody has done a little bit here and there, but I've never met someone as enthusiastic about it as Sean Clifford. I mean, I'll be blunt about it. I mean, he texts me maybe every 10 days or so to ask for some random numbers here and there. I mean, he is really going all out, and I know he's talking to the coaches about it. I mean, he's probably been as enthusiastic about it, you know, as you know, Hackenberg was back in the day, as Brenneman was. You know, he's been as positive of an impact as I've seen, you know, over the past 4 or 5 years. I mean, just this past weekend, bringing Dotson to campus all on his own, you know, driving him up here just so he could show him. I mean, that's just one example of many. So Clifford is definitely the guy that I lean towards. It's kind of like the you know, early leader, I guess you would say, in this class. But I'll give credit to credits, too. I mean, everybody has been doing a little bit of here and there. I mean, you know, Micah Miranda's friends with a couple guys. Robert Martin's friends with a couple guys. As is, you know, C.J. Thorpe. So, you know, they've all done a little bit to get in touch with the friends that they have in their region or whatnot. But Clifford's taken a little bit to a different level. I mean, he's reached out to guys all across the nation.
Numbers are not the same this year as they were the previous 2 years. They're far more limited. Does that change the recruiting pace on verbal commitments when you have lower numbers available to you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think that it's if you ask the coaching staff today, I think they couldn't even give you an exact total, you know, what the class will end up being. But it definitely looks like it's going to be right around 20 this year, and a couple scholarships underneath that 25 limit this year. But you know, I think even as you know, Steve, I think it really just depends on the position. You know, how many are needed at what position. I mean, for example, it's no secret the linebacker is a spot that they need a couple spots or a couple more, you know, commitments from, you know, before the end of the year. So, you know, that's still a position that they're going pretty hard at. But for another example, I mean, offensive line, you know, they have three commitments there already. They have someone like Robert Hainsey still available down at IMG in Florida. You know, they have another player like Andrew Stuber up in Connecticut who they're very high on. He's still available. So that's a position where, you know, they don't have to push as hard right now. They have a couple quality commitments, and they have a few guys that they know they stand in a good position with. But, you know, at this time, they're just not ready. So it just really depends on the position and what they have at this point in their class. But I think they would think, I mean, yeah, this will definitely be a little bit of a smaller class than what we've seen over the past couple of years. And, you know, that's just, you know, that'll impact them, you know, on a per position basis on how hard they impact or how hard they push for a commitment between here and signing day. So it really just depends on the position.
Right. Plus, they're also trying to, you know, there's certain guys that are going to wait a little bit longer. You'd like to hold out on a little bit and make sure you have a spot for.
Absolutely. Robert Hainsey, for example.
Yeah, I mean, that's just
a guy they're not going to stop pursuing no matter what.
Right, exactly. I mean, so that's why sometimes that process will take a little bit longer because you don't have as much flexibility. Penn State between, once they get rolling again in June and July, they have a number of satellite camps that they're going to. So far in these limited satellite camp experiences, over the last couple of years, and they're not going to Australia, but how important have some of these satellite camps turned out to be? And when you've talked to prospects, do they prefer that or do they prefer going to the campus?
Yeah, it's just a little bit different for everybody. I mean, the reality of the situation is that I think the satellite camps have really helped for guys like in Atlanta, Georgia, for example, where they, it's tougher for guys from the inner city of, some southern cities to get all the way up here. You know, places like Charlotte, for example. I mean, there are a couple cities that are, scattered throughout the nation where there's some great players that just, don't have the financial means or don't have the, the transportation on a regular basis to get wherever they want. You know, and then at the same time, you also have a lot of other players who, can get around and would prefer to get on campus. So not only can they show the camp, the coaches what they can do, but at the same time, then check out campus. But, for the most part, I would say this with the satellite camp, I think I have seen growth over the past couple of years. And now with the impact that these satellite camps have had on a national level, just the kind of news that they have stirred up, I think you're really going to see them start taking off. I mean, when the first year or two they started, I would go through some of the lists that I received, and there really wasn't that many guys that, in my opinion, were Penn State quality prospects. And that's what you get when you go to, sure, a school like Davidson, for example, a Division II school. You're going to have mainly Division II prospects. But now, the satellite camps are really starting to grow, and that's what we're seeing over the last two years or so, that, first year we had 5 quality prospects. Now we're seeing 10, 15, 20 quality guys. So what we've seen is Penn State really just kind of getting at the forefront of something that they know at the time was still in the infancy stage. And, now over the last 3 or 4 years has really grown and grown. So I think that's a major reason why we're seeing Penn State go to, 10, 12 different camps this year. Right. When you include the Sound Mind, Sound Body camp and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So it's definitely a growing, trend that we're seeing in college football recruiting, and give Franklin a lot of credit because he was right at the forefront of that.
Yeah, no, right. I mean, right there. I mean, as much as he wants to get, let's face it, you do want to get players on campus. You want to get them to see this place, what it's like, and everything that goes with it. I mean, that is part of it. But also, if there's satellite camps, you have to go. It's part of, as we know, I mean, I don't know about a satellite camp in Australia, but some people go there too. Yesterday, Under Armour announced its 15-year, $280 million deal with UCLA. And this outfits all their sports, and that means Jim Mora gets a really nice warm-up out of it and the whole deal. But then Josh Rosen, the quarterback, who's been rather outspoken in a short period of time, said, "Hey, look, what about us?" Do prospects pay attention to any of this stuff, or is it like, "Hey, look, the gear's really cool"?
Yeah, that's actually so cool you brought that up, because I was having a talk with another colleague of mine about this the other day, and I'm surprised I actually don't hear about it more, Steve. What has been brought up is the what is the right word? The money that the prospects receive, at Penn State and different schools. That's been in the news over the last year or two. But this kind of stuff hasn't been. This is growing. I think over the last year, I mean, we've seen some major decisions with Michigan over the years and Notre Dame and whatnot.
Right.
But it hasn't really been talked about much with recruiting. And I'm actually kind of surprised by that. You would think that it would. It's usually when the players get on campus and they realize how much gear is out there and, how much money is involved with people like Nike and Under Armour and Adidas. It's usually when they get on campus that they realize the amount of money that's there. When it's still in the recruiting stage, I mean, they see the Nike camps, they see the Under Armour camps, and at the time they just think, here's opportunity to get free gear. I don't think they realize how impactful these companies are on these major universities and the type of contracts that they have. It's not until they get on campus and they're a year or two into their time that I think they really understand the whole business part of that. But I'm surprised they don't see it more, especially with the Nike opening camps and the Under Armour camps that are now with Rivals and stuff. So it's something that I'm surprised we haven't heard about more, but I think we will hear only more as this becomes a bigger issue. And, you know, we've already seen that. I think that it's only a matter of time before players are starting to get some type of endorsement money or whatever it may be.
One final question, and I'll let you go. And by the way, he does not go on his honeymoon for another 10 days, so we're not interrupting, okay, time here in Cancun. This will be the second year the cost of attendance is factored in, and there are different levels at different schools. Has that made any difference at all with the mindset of any of the recruits you've talked to in the last year?
Cost of attendance. That was the word I couldn't think of earlier. Thank you for that.
it
hasn't been brought up a lot. It's been talked about a little bit, and Penn State is one of the higher schools, you know, one of the higher offerings. So, you know, I have reached out to guys about that, and, you know, maybe one or two or three of them have seen it and talked about it with me much. But for the most part, when I reach out to a general consensus of recruits, it really hasn't been talked about that much. But like I said, I mean, I think this is something that's only going to grow. I think it's only something that's going to stem out and allow other ways of potentially profiting off of this. I think it's, I can only see a matter of time until we have a Charles Barkley Gene Stocker commercial. You know what I mean? So I think as we get back growing with time, you're going to hear more and more about that.
I think Gene appreciated that moment.
Yeah, right? There you go. I'm going to have to talk to him.
Hey, congratulations. We're really happy for you. And when it comes time to go on the honeymoon, just have a good time. Forget anybody else exists, okay?
Appreciate it, buddy. Yeah, they're gonna be busy during the satellite camps. But but when I get back, we'll have a good talk about it.
You're
all right?
I appreciate it. Thanks, Ryan. Congrats again.
Take care, Steve. Take care, Jason.
All right. Our thanks to Ryan Snyder, Blue White Illustrated. Next half hour, Doug Gottlieb on the NBA playoffs. I know we still have to talk a lot more about the Baylor situation today. We're brought to you today by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up for the Memorial Day weekend. There's only one stop for that as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us, Doug Gottlieb. Next half hour, Bob Buehner. Final half hour, we're going to talk about the Baylor situation. The crux of the problem is that one paragraph I talked about. I mean, this is the entire reason why you're seeing the football coach in the process of being fired through buyouts and negotiation. Why the athletic director is suspended as well. In certain instances, including reports of sexual assault by multiple football players, athletics and football personnel chose not to report sexual violence and dating violence to an appropriate administrator. In those instances, according to the findings, football coaches or staff met directly with the complainant and or a parent of the complainant and did not report the misconduct. What are you meeting with them for? Okay, you tell them, take it to the police, and if there's a charge filed, we will suspend the player. And there's other issues in here involving pressure. That's what this is about. How much anybody knows in this, obviously, this is all going to play out. We're in the initial stages of it.